I'll ask you to open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 19, if you would. We have a brother in Newport, and not recently, but in the past, we played golf from time to time. I play at it. You know, it's one of those guys who takes all those strokes on every hole. But this boy, it was interesting when you were talking, because this course we played, the fairways are real narrow, and they get real narrow on the second nine. And we never played the second nine because he calls it, my friend calls it a shooting gallery, because it's so close. And after hearing you, I know why the second nine's a shooting gallery. As we come to the study of God's Word, I remind you of a principle of Bible study and life that is absolutely indispensable. Never take for granted that indispensable principle. Use helpful things, but if you make helpful things indispensable, then God won't use the helpful things anymore, and you'll miss the indispensable thing, and that is total reliance upon God's Holy Spirit. God inspired this book. He alone can illumine our hearts to see the Lord. And so I'll invite you again, brothers, to bow with me, and we'll just commit our time unto Him. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for the Word that You've already given us. You have shown us Yourself, and we rejoice, Lord. We are not so foolish to pretend that because we've seen You, now we'll do it. But we will run to Jesus now because we've seen You. We ask You now, as we look again, that You would instruct our hearts and open our eyes that we might behold our Lord Jesus again. Draw us, and we'll run after You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For those that may have, I know people have been dribbling in, but for those that may have just come, we're looking at individual lessons, so I don't need to review anything that I've already said. I invite you to Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. We're going to look at this great story of Zacchaeus. I liked what happened yesterday when a brother stood up and read the scripture. I wonder if someone would be willing again. Thank you. The first 10 verses, please.
And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through this or that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of that anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Thanks, Wayne. I think it's fun sometime to go to a familiar passage and ask the Lord to just quicken us again to things we have known and have heard so many times. I want to share with you this beautiful story of Zacchaeus, the rich chief tax collector, who discovered the Lord Jesus as the seeker and the savior of the law. You say, well, I don't need that because I'm already saved. I've been saved for many years, and that applies to the saved. Jesus is the seeker and the savior of the lost, and the seeker and the savior of the lost found. And so the principles are equally applicable whether you have never come to the Lord or whether you've come again and again and again. And so we want to look at this. Let me home in on exactly what I want to share with you. When you first read this story about this little man climbing a tree in order to see the Lord, you get the idea that this story tells us how to seek the Lord. Zacchaeus is a seeker of the Lord. Whether it was curiosity that sent him up the tree or some hunger in his heart, he sought the Lord. Well, maybe. But when you come to the end, did you notice how the Holy Spirit through Luke ends the story? Verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he tells this whole story, and then he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And I'm suggesting there is a lot in this story about God being the seeker. And I want to show some of those principles. You'd expect that the record would show that Zacchaeus is the seeker, and he found the one who saves the lost. But you see, the opposite is true. Many have studied the Gospel of Luke and used chapter 19:10 as sort of the key verse of the whole book. I like the fact that it's not only the key verse of that book, but sort of the key of God's heart. And it's so simple. It's all monosyllables. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So simple. It's not a two-syllable word in the whole thing. Zacchaeus.
That works for me.
At least in English. I don't know Greek. Zacchaeus did see Christ, but not before Christ sought Zacchaeus. And that's the point I want to make. Let me make a few preliminary remarks to get us into this, sort of set out the balance of Scripture, a great truth of God, and not one I can explain, but one I know is there. He hadn't asked me to explain. He's called me to proclaim. That's a lot easier. And so let me proclaim from John chapter 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Basically, that is saying that I don't seek him until he seeks me. Until God draws, we don't come. Don't answer, just think. Do you desire Christ this morning? Where'd you get that desire? If you have a desire for the Lord has put that desire in your heart. You don't just whip it up. You moving toward the Lord in your heart, then He's moving you toward the Lord. Your coming to Him depends upon His coming to you. My coming to Him depends on His coming to me. You love Him because you seek Him because He first sought you. Our desire for grace is a work of grace. It's only God that does it. Now, do I understand it? I do not. I don't understand all of that, how God draws us without violence, without force, without compelling us to go against our will. I don't know how to put that together. I can't satisfy you with an explanation. I can't satisfy me with an explanation. I'm not going to try to do it. I'm just going to announce it. Two verses I love in this connection meant so much to me. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." The other one is Psalm 110:3. Psalm 110:3 says, "Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power." Another great verse. Actually, the Hebrew says, "Thy people are free will offerings in the day of your power." When God draws us, we're as willing as willingness itself. When God pulls us, Psalm chapter 1 verse 4, "Draw me, we'll run after thee." As I say, I can't explain it all, but I know it's true. People have seen signs and wonders and not come to the Lord. People have heard thousands of messages and not responded to the Lord. People have seen in the lives of others the testimony of God and have not come unto the Lord. People have heard convincing arguments and haven't been convinced. And then God begins to dawn on them, and when the Lord discovers Himself to them, they begin to melt, come to Him. God is always previous. God is always first. In the beginning, God, first in nature, first in grace, first in everything. After Adam sinned, he didn't seek the Lord. He covered himself with a fig tree and jumped in the bushes. It was the Lord who came. "Adam, where are you?" God's a seeker. God's always the first seeker, right from the beginning. Now, you can't use that and say, "Well, then, it's not my fault. I didn't come. He didn't draw me." John chapter 12:32 knocks that in the head. Our Lord Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." I think when we stand there before the Lord in our resurrection bodies, when we behold the Lord in His glory, and so we shall, when we stand there in that region and see that place and those things and spirits of just men made perfect, and we're in that fellowship, see the angels of God, whatever sights will fill our eyes, I think we'll all fall down before the Lord and confess, "If you didn't draw me here, I wouldn't be here. You didn't make me willing, I would have resisted all the way. If you didn't work in my heart, if you didn't deal with me, I would have never responded. Thank you, Lord." Before I illustrate from this marvelous chapter here, these 10 verses, how the Lord Jesus draws us and illustrates it here, let me just sort of state what I believe is the Bible teaching on what it means to seek the Lord. What does it mean to seek God? It's what this is all about, you know. We want to be seekers of the Lord. I believe the Bible teaches that seeking the Lord is responding to the Lord seeking you. Speaking to the Lord is a response that we have. I can't seek until He seeks. And when I catch up that He's seeking, I respond. And when I respond, then He responds to the response. And great things take place. Someone said, well, if he's seeking me, how come he's so hidden all the time? I don't know if you brothers write poetry. I know some of you do. I encourage every Christian to write poetry. Someone comes to my house and they're feeling low or something, I'll send them in the other room with a pen. Write a song. Write a poem. My son thinks I'm a sissy because I write poetry. And he keeps telling me, I'm not going to do it. And I walked in on him the other day. He was trying to write a poem. He stuck that to me. I love it. One of my dear friends, Dave Struve, has been sending some of those ventings of his heart. And he sent me one recently based on, you remember when you were young and used to play hide and go seek? God sometimes plays a game with us. Listen to this verse of that poem. God said, if you seek him, he will let you find him. Like the game of hide and seek we used to play. When he's hiding from you, you might walk right by him. Then he'll make a sound to give himself away. God's well hidden, not to make your task more daunting. He is as a treasure hidden in a field. Not your anger or frustration is he wanting, but the joy that floods your heart when he's revealed. And that's exactly what he does. What does it mean to seek the Lord? It means to respond to the Lord seeking you. And when he hides himself, he's only playing hide and seek. He's hiding because he wants you to seek. He wants you to go after him. Now, let me suggest a little outline that this story sort of takes automatically. There's about four scenes here. I want to talk about God on your street, because God came down his street. And then I want to talk about God stopping at your tree, because God stops at your tree. And then I want to talk about God in your house, because God went to his house. And then I want to talk about God at your table. That's the story of Zacchaeus. God on your street, God at your tree, God in your house, and God at your table. You see, when God comes down your street, that's when he draws you. When God stops at your tree, that's when he reveals himself. When God comes to your house, that's when he enters into union with you. And when God sits at your table, that's when he begins communion with you and fellowship. And that's the goal of God seeking you, so that you might seek him. So that's what we're going to look at. Chapter 19, verse 3 and 4, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was unable because of the crowd. He was small in stature, so he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was to pass through that way. I'll try to weave the facts in as we tell the story. Verse 2 says that he was a chief tax collector, and that he was rich. A chief anybody and a rich anybody doesn't really do what he did. He sort of broke out from the crowd and ran ahead and climbed up a tree. I had 6 children, and now I have 10 grandchildren. One in heaven, 2 in the womb, and 7 climbing trees. They all love to run, and they all love to climb trees. My kids were always in the branches. And when I read about Zacchaeus, rich, dignified, businessman, running like a little child and climbing up a tree, I think there is something more than curiosity there. That childlikeness. And I think he was seeking the Lord because the Lord was seeking him. Maybe he was responding to some miracles he heard about. Or maybe he had heard that Jesus was hobnobbing with publicans and the sinners and so on. We know he was a chief tax collector. We know he was rich. We know he ran. We know he climbed. We have a record on all those things. Why did he run? Why did he climb? And I suggest it's not that Zacchaeus woke up one morning and said, you know, I think I'll seek God today. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. He didn't say, I think I'll seek the Lord today. I think I'll climb a tree. What tree would you climb? There's a tax, a sycamore. Stole all my thunder. There's a thousand trees to climb. You just can't decide I'm going to seek the Lord today. You know how Zacchaeus knew what tree to climb? Verse 4 at the end. He heard that he was about to pass that way. Zacchaeus got hold of Jesus' itinerary. He got hold of the route. He got hold of the plan. And when he knew Jesus is coming down this street, then he said, I think I'll climb a tree and see him because I know he's going to pass by. He didn't just climb any tree. He climbed a tree that was on the route Jesus was taking. See, God was the first seeker. And until you recognize, and I recognize, God's coming down my street, I'm not going to climb any tree. You're not going to climb any tree. So that's the illustration. Now, chapter 19:3 says Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Again, I say maybe he had heard about his miracles. Maybe he had heard about Luke 15 where he sat with the publicans and the sinners and was identifying with them. He wasn't too popular, you know, and that might have been an appeal that he'll be friendly. A tax collector, especially the Jews, they didn't care for them. Rome, that foreign government paying taxes to them, that was sort of an anathema. And besides, they were crooks. They were extortioners. Here's how it worked. Rome didn't tax individuals. They taxed districts on our island. We live on an island, and there's three cities on the island, three towns on the island. You got Newport, Middletown, Portsmouth. And so Rome would say, Newport owes so much money. And then Middletown owes so much money. They didn't care how he got it. And the only way to get a job was to buy it. That was the only way you can get a job. Only rich people could be tax collectors. And they would go to Rome and they would bid for the job. I want this district. All right, then you've got to come up with $2 million. All right, I will. And they went to the people and they had people taxing. And Rome backed them up. Rome didn't care what they did. And they could take over the farms and take over and threaten them and take their cattle. So they became very, very wealthy. Well, this was a little guy, but a big shot. And he was the chief tax collector. And he was very, very wealthy. You know one thing you get about that chief tax collector? There's only one chief, you know. That means Matthew used to work for him. About 3 years before that, Matthew got saved and quit his job. I wonder if Zacchaeus knew about that. I wonder if Matthew ever witnessed to him. The Bible says after Matthew got saved, he threw a big party, and many publicans came to this party. I wonder if Zacchaeus was at that party. You know, 3 years later, you witness to your boss and nothing happens, you think nothing happened. See, when Matthew got saved, Jesus was coming down Zacchaeus' street. He didn't recognize it then. He didn't recognize it until a couple of years later. Don't get discouraged. The reality is you're a believer in Christ, and when you walk down anybody's street, Christ walks down their street. When I walk down anybody's street, Christ walks down their street, and they don't always respond. But you keep walking. and you're representing the Lord. So whatever was working on his heart, Zacchaeus began to respond, whether it was curiosity or the desire for friendship or somebody had witnessed to him. And now he's beginning to respond. It's important, brothers, that we, by God's grace, keep our eyes open, because the Lord is always walking down our street. And he has many ways to do that. Usually he just sort of multiplies blessings, you know, and he just scatters good things, his mercy. Our brother reads that psalm every year, how we need that. You know, you take that mercy of the Lord endures forever, take that out of the psalm, and all you got is a history. But in between the lines of that history and yours is the mercy of the Lord. Interlaced in our history is the mercy of the Lord. And that's true. And so he's given someone health, and he's given someone a family, and given someone kids, and someone has a job, and someone has security. And then one day they say, whoa, I am so blessed. God has been so good. I think I'll seek the Lord. When they see, God's keep coming down the street. And when God comes out, and all of a sudden they realize it, then they begin to seek the Lord. You know, I just had that close call. I could have been killed. And God spared me. I think I'll seek the Lord. That was God seeking you. That was God coming down the street. And all of a sudden they recognize, I think I'll seek the Lord. He spared me. I would have been dead if it wasn't for such and such. I think I'll seek the Lord. Sometime we don't respond to those gentle dews and sunbeams and flowers and God pouring out blessings. And listen to Jeremiah 22:21. I spoke to you in prosperity, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your practice from your youth. Therefore, the wind will sweep away your shepherds, and your lovers will go into captivity, and you'll be ashamed and humiliated. God said, I'll bless you, and I'll pour out, and I'll dump, and I'll bless, and you'll have all these things. And then you just live as if you got it on your own. And God said, oh, they're not listening. Okay, I think I'll have to come down their street another way. And he begins to pound a little bit and stomp down the street. And sometimes it's through a doctor's report that is not very pleasant, or some financial difficulty, or some upheaval in the children or something. And then all of a sudden someone says, I think I'll seek the Lord. They're not seeking, they're responding. God has been the seeker, and God is coming down the street. Sometimes God's hand gives, sometimes God's hand takes away. It doesn't matter if it's God's hand. Whether he's giving or taking, it's God coming down the street. That's what Job had to learn. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Whether his hand's giving or taking, it's God's hand in your life at all times. He's drawing you. He's calling you. And the more God opens your eyes that to the fact that everything that is happening in your life is the Lord, when you see the Lord in it, you can respond. That's what a seeker is. It's someone who responds to God coming down their street. And then when you respond to that motion, then God begins to respond to your response. That's the beginning of life. Zacchaeus was not the initiator. He didn't just break out of the pack, run like a little child, climb a tree, get over the heads of all of the rest. He decided, I'm going to respond to the Lord. And some of you brothers, you say this is just for sinners, unsaved people. No, no, no. Sometime we got to break out of the pack. We got to run like little children. And we got to climb into a tree, because God's doing something. He's coming down our street. He's drawing us. No one comes unless he's drawn. And oh, that's how God draws in all these experiences of life. And then once we respond, Jesus stops at our tree. How precious is that? Jesus stops at our tree. A tree can be anything. It's your response to what he's done. A tree can be a church. A tree can be a tape. A tree can be a book. A tree can be a friend. It can be Black Rock. God's been working in your life. You say, I think I'll climb a tree. Well, here you are. Welcome to these branches. We're up in this tree because God's been coming down your street and God's been coming down my street. Chapter 19, verse 5, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up to him. Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. Today I must abide at your house. Now we know from the record that Zacchaeus had many needs that day. He needed forgiveness, that's for sure. He was a thief, an extortioner. He needed friendship. Nobody cared about those publicans, you know. He needed a transformed life. But when Jesus stopped at the tree, that's not what he got. You say, oh, he got that. Oh, yeah, not at the tree. We're going to get to that. He didn't get that there. It was a person who stopped at the tree. It was a person who looked up. It was a person who called out his name. Yes. Zacchaeus did not receive a Bible that day. He did not receive a plan of salvation that day. He did not receive a denomination that day. He received a person, a Savior, the one who was seeking him. He received a person, Christ Jesus, the Lord. I suppose Zacchaeus could have responded and said, oh Lord, you don't know me. You don't know my life, what I've been involved in. I'm so unworthy. I'm not worthy to come down from this tree. Unworthy never kept a soul from Jesus. Only unwilling. Willing. How many times he went that route right by his life and knocked and knocked and he never paid attention. Jesus draws us. And then when we respond, he responds to the response and he reveals himself. He knows all about you, brother. He knows all about me. He knows all about your past. Maybe it's ugly. Maybe it's repulsive. He knows all about that. He stops at your tree. He's stopping at your tree this weekend. Here you are, hanging on this little branch. You don't know what's going on. You just sort of, for whatever squirrely reason, you went up there. And you're up there. And he stops at your tree. And you're amazed. Because he calls your name. How many guys? 100 guys? 120 guys here? And he's calling each one of us by name. And so we respond to him and he responds to us. And then he said in verse 5, today I must stay at your home. You see, when Jesus stops at your tree, you get Jesus. But Jesus never comes alone. Every time Jesus comes, he doesn't come empty-handed. He comes laden down with gifts and blessings. And now he's going to get salvation and all that comes from that. And one of the first expressions of that is joy. When he came down, it says that he received him gladly. And all of a sudden, I don't know when the last time was this guy smiled or this guy had joy, but he has it now. Now listen, Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, your God will come to you and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. That shall be stopped.
Spontaneous. It was an outworking. It was an overflow. I'll bet the crowd was all ears. You know, they're sitting there, and Zacchaeus says, "Lord, if I've stolen anything," and the guy said, "Yeah, you better believe you stole from me. I'll pay back fourfold." Out comes the calculator, you know, and they're trying to figure how much he owed. That man woke up a rich man. No, he didn't. He went to bed a rich man. He went to bed a rich man. He woke up in the morning and he had all that money. Then by midday, half of it's gone. And then all these people are around him, hearing him give this public You make sure you get that comma in the right place. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more." Some people read that, you know, they mix the comma. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, let him labor with his hands." Make sure you get the get the comma in the right place there. In this connection, I'm not going to spend time on it, but it's been
As the guest, as the host. He comes in as the host. He comes in to serve you. This whole idea of sitting down at the table all through the scriptures, you know, that's a picture of fellowship with God. That's what it's all about, brothers. It's all fellowship with God. You know, in the Bible it talks about the sacrifice being burned. Did you ever ask the question, why'd they burn it? Why'd they burn it? Leviticus 2:6 calls the burned part the food of God. Leviticus chapter 24, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25, 25,
If any man hear my voice and open the door, that's Christ at your tree. I will.
was every time you come down,
Said seek him, and he never said seek me in vain. He'll always reveal himself, because when this is all over, the goal is that you sit at the table with the Lord, and that you feast with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. You found the Lord, you have union, now you want communion to sit at his table. Well, that's Zacchaeus. God draws us, he reveals himself, he enters into union in order that he might enjoy communion. Let's bow. Father, thank you for this precious story. Not what we think we know it means, but everything you've inspired it to mean, unveiled to our hearts. Thank you for how many times you've come down our street. Forgive us for how many times we did not notice that you were coming down our street. Give us eyes, Lord, to be sensitive to everything you're doing in our life, your hand giving or taking. And then, Lord, grace us to climb a tree and to respond to the revelation of Christ, to enter into union and to sit at the table where you serve us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.